Let me bid you well again, express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together, so we're glad that you're with us. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along with the lesson, you have that option. Title it, What God Requires from Young People. So, Mackenzie, I apologize that you have to hear this lesson. She's one of our teenagers. The Bible speaks not only to fathers or to parents, but there's a direct charge that's given to young people. Sometimes young people think they're excluded from any of God's commandments. That I don't have to do what God says, I'm not old enough. But there's three things that God requires from youth, and He speaks to young people directly. It's in your notes. Number one, God wants to be remembered in youth. Second, to obey your parents. And number three is to honor your parents. Those three things. Let's take a look at the lesson this morning. We see that God addresses children in these three areas. Number one, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Your youth. Some people think, oh, young people don't need to know about God's Word. Or maybe they say, oh, they won't understand. But in Psalm 71, verse 17, it says, oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth. And I declare thy wondrous works. So young people or youth have the possibility, the capability of knowing about God. In Psalm 119, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking thy word. Oh, the word of God. In 2 Timothy, Paul told Timothy, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So the question comes up many times, why? I put that in your notes. In fact, I circled the three whys. I have a 3.5-year-old granddaughter. No matter what I say, she says, why? Why? Oh, I see clouds in the sky. Why? Well, they're just there. Why? Also, it gives rain. Why? No matter what you say or what answer you give, it's followed up with why. Anytime you ask someone to do something, there should be a rationale behind it. More than just what my mother said to me, just because. I said so. That's why. Well, that's one reason. But why? Well, in verse 1, you have one answer. Because there's evil days that are coming and the years will draw nigh when you'll say, I have no pleasure in them. So we ought to possess, number one, a habit of remembering God while you're young. While you're young. If God's not remembered now, it's going to be more difficult to do it later. Remember the phrase, can't teach an old dog new tricks. So young people, want to remember God in your youth because it's a good habit to do that. Another reason is right now, while young, you have the greatest ability for learning, to develop talents in God's service. It's amazing. 3.5-year-old granddaughter. When she was born, from there to there, in 3.5 years, she's grown to that tall. She runs, jumps, and plays, counts, knows numbers, colors, all kinds of things. She sings in 3.5 years. I look back, I wonder, what have I learned in the last 3.5 years? Don't answer that out loud. What have I, 3.5 years? While young, children have the possibility, the ability of learning. And also, put in your notes, church leaders receive great joy in seeing young people serving God. When our leaders in the congregation see young people as they grow older giving their life to God, becoming Christians, we think, oh, there's hope for the future of this congregation. Parents receive great joy when they see their faith in future generations. Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5 says, I call to remembrance the unfaith love that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that it's in you also. It's a joy to see young people learning about God and then coming to God. I remember years ago when Jeremiah Sally's kids were extra. They were young. Well, they're still young, but they were extra young. They would come in, Eli and Evie, and they'd grow, and Grandma would start gather her books up and take them back to the Bible class time. And those two kids would run to the classroom, eager to see God or be taught the Word of God. I've yet to see an adult run into the building to Bible class. I've seen them run after. You don't get into the car. Young people, why should I learn about God? Because it gives pleasure to parents, to church leaders, to God. Apostle John said in 3 John verse 4, I have no greater love than to hear that my children walk in the truth. That's right, my greatest joy. See children walking in truth. That's why. So we remember, it gives great joy to others. Another one I put in your notes, because there's a danger in delay in your remembrance to God. There's two reasons, you've heard me say this before, two dangers in delay. Either you lose your desire or you lose your opportunity. And we see that in life too. Right now, children may have the greatest desire to learn about God, attend the Bible class, and learn those Bible stories. But when they get older, they still have, number two, the opportunity, but maybe they've lost their desire. Oh, danger and delay. Either you lose your opportunity or you lose your desire. Or when they get older, they may have lost their opportunity because they died too young. The danger of delay. You see that illustrated sometimes in life. I say, oh, there's a concert I wanted to attend, and the group of us got together. Oh, let's all go. Oh, yes, we have the desire, and the opportunity is coming in this weekend. Now I think, oh, you know, I don't think I'll go. Lost my desire, not the opportunity. And then the concert is held, and the other kids, they come back and say, Brian, oh, you should have been there. Oh, we had the greatest time. It was really good. And I think, oh, I wish I'd have gone. Well, I lost the opportunity. Danger of delay. You either lose your desire or you lose your opportunity. One of those two things in life. So children need to remember God while you're young. The second requirement that God requires of young people was in the text that was read to us this morning. In Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, direct it right to them. Children, I'm talking to you, God would say, or Paul would say. Obey your parents in the Lord. He said in the book of Colossians 3, verse 20, obey your parents in all things. By definition, by obey, we know to accept or comply with. If we're going to obey, we yield. Or we conform, we submit, we surrender. And again, the question comes, child said, why would I want to do that? Why? So here's some answers. I know some parents probably this morning are going to take this home, these notes home, laminated, and put it at their child's door. As a reminder, a son or daughter, you know, just remember what Brian said? But some reasons why. Why should I obey my parents? Number one is the wisdom of the parent is gained. See, there's some things in life that I don't want to experience firsthand. There's some things in life that I'd rather learn from the experience of others. So the wisdom of the parent is gained. And they can say to the child, you know, I've been through this. Learn from me. So we teach our children to how to cross the street, or don't run with scissors, or eat healthy and say please and thank you. Or we give them warning, watch out for this and that. We know, so the wisdom of the parent is gained when they obey. In Proverbs 13, verse 1, a wise son hears his father's instruction. A wise son. Another reason is obedience is reciprocal love. You see, parents have chosen to love and sacrifice for their children for years, providing them with love and food and clothing and shelter. Parents have changed diapers. Parents have changed plans. We've changed our personal wishes. We've given children love in sickness and in health, and the list can go on, can't it? It's impossible for the child to repay that debt in dollars and cents. You know, there's child labor laws. They can't. It's impossible for all those years that that child has been raised in our home to pay that debt back in treasure. So what can the child give back to the parent? Obedience. And when the child gives back obedience, or even when they does it, the parent still says, you know, for all those years, no charge. Food, no charge. Shelter, no charge. Clothing, no charge. Driving you everywhere, no charge. And all those things that parents do for children, no charge. They can't give back to us in dollars and cents. But they can give in reciprocal love. Obedience. And I'm satisfied with that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Another one, the habit of obedience is good discipline for the future. Now, this is a lesson of life for all of us, not just you. But throughout your whole life, you will submit to something. Law of the land, the law of nature, teachers, your employers, others' rights, and one day you'll submit to God in judgment. Throughout your whole life, you will never reach an age where you do not have to submit to something. It was when I was teaching in San Diego Unified School District. I sometimes ask my students, I say, at what age you have to be when you don't have to submit anymore? Or when they raise their hands. Oh, 16. When I get to be 16. No one sits beside them. No, you have to be 18. Or 21. They say, no, when we get that age, we won't have to submit to anything anymore. But just because you grow up doesn't mean freedom from obedience. So I want you to learn to obey while you're young. Learn to obey while you're young. And right now, the consequences are not so severe. While you're young, the consequence may be, oh, you need to go sit in the corner, or you get a lecture, or you get a timeout, or there's a restriction of some way. Or when you get a little bit older, you're going to be fined. And then they get still a little bit older, depending on what you do, there may be incarceration. So as we get older, the consequences for disobedience become more severe. So I want you to learn obedience while you're young. When I was a teaching, it might be an occasion where I turned my back to the students and have to write something on the board. And you'd hear some disturbance behind me, and I'd turn around. And I may say to them, is the only time you're going to obey is when someone is watching? Is that the only time you will do what's right? Is when someone is watching. Children, learn to obey your parents, because it's good discipline for the future. Then I'll also put society is benefited. You see, by learning obedience now, As adults, because you are obedient, you will make a contribution to society by living a well-behaved and a law-abiding life. Because you've learned to obey. You've learned to submit to all these different areas that will come about in life. And because you obey, you will not become a burden to society. You will not become a vandalism. You will not become criminal. You will learn to obey as a habit from while you're young. In Proverbs 14, verse 34, it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin's a reproach to any people. So when you've learned obedience to all of these areas of life, you make a contribution to society. And then also, it develops future trust. See, when you prove yourself worthy, as you grow older, you will be granted more privileges or more responsibilities. Because you've obeyed, I've learned to trust you. And I've been able to commit more responsibility to you because of your obedience. More requests will be granted. You've earned the right to be trusted, all because you're obedient to your parents. You've earned that right. In our text, for this is right, Ephesians 6, verse 1. It's right. In Colossians 3, verse 20, it says, it's well-pleasing unto the Lord. If something is right, it means it's correct. It's right to obey your parents. It's proper. It's legitimate. It's just. See, learn this in life too. There's some things in life you do just because it's right. And not to receive payment or honor of some kind. You do it because it's right. It's right. The reward for obedience is sometimes just the knowledge that you've obeyed. The reward for obedience is sometimes just a sense of satisfaction that you... And now you have that warm and fuzzy feeling. I know you'd rather have something in your hand. There was nobody watching, nobody to applaud, nobody to say, attaboy. I just did something right and I like that. Some of you won't know who Ann Landers or Dear Abby is. An advice columnist. I don't know if they still are around or not. But years and years ago, the people would write in to what you need to do. So here was one, Dear Ann Landers on this one. Dear Ann Landers, I'm a 16-year-old girl. All right, we got trouble already. I'm a 16-year-old girl who's a nervous wreck from getting yelled at. All I hear from my parents from morning till night is, stop smoking, get off the phone, hang up your clothes, do your homework, clean your room. How can I get them off my back? She signed herself Sick of Parents. So Ann Landers, you already know what Ann Landers is saying. Stop smoking, get off the phone, hang up your clothes, do your homework, and clean your room. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents. But let not your mother when she's old. Malachi 1 verse 6 says, a son honors his father. The Bible speaks directly to children. Not only for, number one, God to be remembered in youth. Obey your parents in the Lord, for that's right. And then now honor your father and mother. Honor means to hold in high regard, to respect, to esteem. And that's displayed not only in word, but in deed. You honor. It means to carry your share of the load. If you're going to honor your parents, it means be home on time. It means do your chore. Your parents. So again, the question comes, why? Why would I want to do that? Well, here's the reason. Number one, in verse 2 of our text, is the first commandment with promise. So it's a commandment. It's not just a parent request. It's a commandment. It's the right thing to do. It's well-pleasing to God. God wants you to do it. So number one is commandment. Then also in verse 3 of the text that was read to us, that it may be well with you. I think two children feel better when they know that they've obeyed. And many times when they do something that we requested, they'll want us to come and see their accomplishments. And they'll say, come see. Even as a 3.5-year-old, there's times say, come, Papa. So take my finger, come see. Oh, look what you did put your toys away. She's 3.5 and has that sense already. I want to be pleasing to parents. I want to honor requests. Good behavior receives special privileges. It just seems that people want to do more for you when you're obedient. I know it was always, it says in verse 3 that it may be well with you. And it was always better for me when I obeyed, when I was growing up. And then also in verse 3 it says that you may live long on the earth. So you honor your parents' requests to stay away from drunkenness or stay away from drug abuse or stay away from vandalism or whatever it is. And obedient children are, I put that in your notes, obedient children are spared the vices that shorten life. So they warn you and tell you to stay away from alcoholism, from drug abuse, and from crime, and from accidents. When children obey their parents, the verse says that they may live long. Parents, you see, sometimes people say, oh, my parents, oh, it's a bunch of do's and don'ts. And oh, that's what the Bible just says, what you can't do. But God and parents are only asking children to stay away from those things that will harm them either mentally, emotionally, physically, or spiritually. I've never asked my view physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. Stay away. Those things that will shorten your life. We don't want to see our children hurt. Let me give you, I got 2 minutes. Give one other illustration, okay? Children, well, all of us are tempted with the wrong because nobody will know. We've heard that, haven't we? Mm-hmm. Nobody will know. Find out. We can get away with them. Who will answer? Number one, God will know. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and evil. Proverbs 15. In Psalm 139, David asked the question, where can I go from your spirit? If I ascend to the heights, you're there. If I ascend to the depths, you're there. If I take the wings and go over to the far parts of the sea, behold, you're there. If I say even darkness will cover me, behold, the darkness is light to you. God knows. Second, when they say, who will know? Nobody will know. You will know. You know what you did. And you're the one that has to put the head on the pillow at night and think, what did I say and do today? So when someone comes up to you and says, nobody will know. Well, wait a minute. God will know and you will know. Number three, your partner in crime will know. You know, whoever you committed the deed with will know. Then number four, whoever they tell will know. I've never known anybody who committed something wrong and got away with it to keep it a secret. Their first thing they're going to do is tell their buddies, you know what I got away with? You know what we did? It. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. Oh, wait a minute. God knows. You know. Your partner knows. And now, whoever you just told knows. And in the day of judgment, if you don't repent of it and turn your life around, everybody will know. And it all started out with, nobody will know. Nobody. So there's some answers to some things that you want to know why. Why? Don't let your parents down. They brought you up. Be humble enough to obey, because you may give orders someday. Choose companions with care. You become what they are. Guard your thoughts. What you think, you are. Choose only a date who would make a good mate. Be masters of your habits or they will master you. Don't show off when you drive. Drive safely and arrive. Don't let the crowd pressure you. Stand for something or you'll fall for anything. That's the lesson today. Next week, I've been thinking about it. They give a lesson on the deceitfulness of sin. I'm going to go along with this. The deceitfulness of sin. Sin's deceitful in three ways. Deceitful in its appearance. It's deceitful in the promise of what it will bring. And it's deceitful in its cure. Next Sunday, Lord willing. I don't change my mind. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. If you're not a member of the New Testament church, if you're not a Christian, or you've never obeyed the gospel, there's a simple plan or procedure. Number one, you need to hear the good news, the gospel, that Jesus commissioned his disciples or apostles to go into all the world. I want you to preach a gospel to everybody, every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and that's what I want for you and for me. If you have not done that already, we sing this invitation song, a song of encouragement, a song of exhortation. You know, Paul asked a question in Romans chapter 14, verse 10. How can you believe in someone, Romans 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you've not heard? So we have to preach and teach. This is belief. At the close of John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name. The purpose of God's written word is to produce belief in your life and mine. And then number three, you'll want to repent of your sins, turn your life around because of what you believe. You'll want to live a Christ-like, a godly life.
Yes.
And then after that, you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached to him a Jesus message in Acts chapter 8. And when the Ethiopian said, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he made a confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. Stop the chariot. And they both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. Simple process or procedure. Have you heard? Do you believe the message? Are you willing to turn your life around? Will you confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized for remission of sins? That's the process. Obeying the gospel, becoming a Christian. Salvation added to the church. Let's stand together. This is selected for us. God says that obey the gospel message. Just simply come while we're singing this song. Have a seat beside me. And at the close of the song, I'll